So here we are, and this is Graduate Healing School Module 14, Tactics of Spiritual Warfare, Part 1. Our foundational scripture is John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And in the Message translation, Jesus says, I've come that you might have life better than you have ever imagined it. So if your life is not better than you imagine it, then it means that you're not yet attaining the point where Jesus wants you to be. And that's as almost everything else is due to a lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Tonight, the knowledge we want to focus on is the knowledge of tactical warfare. And we're going to ease into it by talking about a little bit about spiritual warfare in general, and then strategic warfare, and then tactical warfare. But from this foundation of scripture, a point I want to convey is this. There are many, many people who go straight out of high school and they get a nice job. And after all the years in school, they've been liberated from school. And all they want to do is make some money so they can buy some nice things and have fun. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I totally understand that. And many people do that. In fact, most people do that. Now, after a while, some decide, well, you know, I'm having fun, it's nice, and so forth, but it's not going to get me the goals I really want. So many of them start going back to school part-time, some of them even full-time. Now, what I want to talk about really are the part-time people. People who are living a life, but they're making time to do something to achieve a goal. That's really what this teaching tonight is all about. Is that you're all here and you've all been saved many years and you've all learned a lot. You've all changed a lot. God has brought you from where you were. And thank God I know where I was and I'm so grateful to be where I am today. And I know that's probably the cry of every person's heart that's listening to me. But where we are is not supposed to be a place of complacency. That we've arrived. I don't care how much money you have, how much health you have, how much success you have. There's never a place for us to be complacent. God wants us to be always moving towards Him. Which means that regardless of what we're doing to survive, to live, or to live abundantly, God wants us to take some of the time and put it into a part-time endeavor, if you will, of improving where you are. And that part-time endeavor is what I'm calling strategic warfare. If we go from one battle to another, then all we're seeing around us are battles and the circumstances of the battle. We never get to look at it from the overview of where are we and what is the destination and how do we get there. If we're always going from, you know, fighting the challenges with the car, to fighting the challenges with your body, to fighting the challenges of your relationship, to fighting with your neighbor next door, to fighting with your dog, and it's one fight after another, then there is no place where you have the time to set it aside to start improving your overall being to go from level to level. So this teaching tonight assumes that you're not completely submerged in putting out one fire after another, but you've obtained some level of success where you do have some discretionary time. And the question is, what do you do with the discretionary time? And the teaching is saying the following, really. Tonight's teaching is saying, you really want to take some of that discretionary time and invest it in strategic warfare, so you can improve and go from level to level. It's very difficult to go from level to level, from glory to glory, if you're always in a tactical manner responding to what the enemy is doing and fighting for your life or the life of your family. So, strategic warfare is really probably the major focus of both the healing school and the school of dominion. Yes, there's a lot of tactics involved with it, but the overall process is, let's go from level to level and let's increase. And most of you have been through one or both of them, which means you've invested the time to be able to move from level to level, from glory to glory. So, keeping in mind that we are saying you need to put some time aside to get into strategic warfare, the point of this series here, this mini-series, is on tactical warfare. We have a lot of teaching in spiritual warfare. I looked at what we had, and we probably have probably 15 outlines on strategic warfare that we've taught here. Plus, it's also been taught in the School of Dominion. But as I looked at it, the area in which we were most lacking, or the area which could use the most work, was in the area of tactical warfare, the hand-to-hand combat, if you will, of spiritual warfare. So that's what I want to focus on for, oh, at least two, maybe three modules, maybe even four. So first of all, let's talk about the difference between strategies and tactics. Tactics is really responding to the current situation. It's pretty much short term. Strategy is what you want to do to bring you to a point where your life is more abundant living than it was before, and eventually get to the point where it's better than you've ever imagined, and imagine get to the point where you're alive and remain when Jesus returns. That's the goal of strategic warfare. So, strategies versus tactics. Overview. Strategic warfare is a long-term affair, and it's a focus on winning the war. So in strategic warfare, you've picked a goal, and moving from where you are to achieving that goal, that is the war. Along the way, you have individual battles. But the strategic warfare is achieving the major goal. Now the question is, what is the major goal? Well, the major goal could be, there's a humongous challenge in my body and I need to get it out of my life. So your strategic warfare, what am I going to do to achieve the goal of getting that challenge out of my body so I can walk in health? Could be, what can I do to achieve a goal so I no longer need doctors or medicines or hospitals? Another goal could be, what could I do and what should I do to be alive and remain when Jesus returns? Another goal could be, what can I do to live and not die regardless of what happens on the earth? God's word said you should live and not die. So these are some goals. One might be finances. For you, it might be, my strategic warfare is getting a certain income or buying one or more properties. Whatever it is to you, that's your major goal, and that's what the war is all about, is achieving that goal. Now, for most of you here who've been through healing school and through School of Dominion in graduate school, most of you here have done that, and on the internet have done that. Probably the major goals for us are being alive and remaining when Jesus returns, or put it another way, living and not dying. That we are so totally independent of this system of mammon that regardless of what happens, we know we can achieve, overcome, and be alive and remain when Jesus returns. That's probably the major strategy. Now, strategic warfare is really based on faith. Now, everything we do to please God is based on faith. But here, strategic warfare is you're believing a promise that may be way in the future that you don't see the promise. And to get there, you have to really invest effort and time and maybe finances and take risk to achieve it. And the only reason why you know it's there is because the Bible says so. It's like Abraham, you know. Promises that he believed God and went off to do what God said, and he never saw them. He's going to a city he never saw. He's going to be a father of, you know, many nations. He never saw them. I mean, he's still waiting to see some of these promises. And so it really is an issue of faith. How much time and effort are you willing to put into achieving a goal where the only knowledge of that goal, the only promise of the goal, is because God's word says it? It takes a lot of faith to decide you're going to be a strategic warrior. But the benefits are enormous. No, the essence of strategic warfare is summarized in John 8:31 and 8:32. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciple. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That when you invest the time in God's word, to renew your mind to God's word, to act in faith on God's word, to speak God's word, that in whatever area you choose to invest that time, then eventually you'll be set free from the challenges in that area. So if health is an issue and health healing is a major goal, then as you invest your time in the Word of God, studying, of course, healing, because that's the goal, and renew your mind to healing, that every time you hear healing, you think, what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? You don't think, what does my doctor say? You think, what does Jesus say? That's what renewing your mind means. You renew your mind to it, so you think the way God thinks about whatever the subject is. In this example, I'm using healing. So once your mind is renewed to that, to a certain extent, then it's in your heart. You act in it and you speak it. So that's the strategic approach. Is you simply are going to go after it because the Bible says if you continue in my word, then it's going to set you free. The more you continue in strategic warfare, the more you continue with a strategic approach, is the more you rise above the storms of life, it's the more you'll avoid the challenges and the problems. It's like in the Lord's Prayer, which says, lead us not into temptation. Strategic warfare is you being led by the Lord to avoid the area of temptation, so that those who are involved in strategic warfare, listening to the voice of God, studying the Word, being able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit because they're founded on the Word, those are the ones who did not go to work in the Twin Towers on 9/11. Those are the ones who are not in the wrong place at the wrong time. These are benefits of strategic warfare. Without those benefits, then people end up in situations the way they shouldn't be, and now they're praying, God, protect me from the hail of bullets flying around me. That's tactical response. Ephesians 6:10 puts it this way. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I remember somebody reading, it says, the willies of the devil. And I really like that. Okay? Stand against the willies of the devil. You know, he is a really... okay? But the strategic approach is learning what the armor is and putting it on, what it means to put it on. And putting on means you're living it. I know it's a wonderful act and symbolism to, you know, tap your your loins with, you know, with truth, and put on your helmet and all the steps. It's a wonderful symbolism. And there's some emotional and mental value in that, and maybe even some spiritual value with that. But that's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, learn to live the armor of God. Okay? Learn to live the armor of God. It's part of your lifestyle. And that is strategic warfare. You learn what the armor is, and you learn how to live it. And you live it 24 hours a day. It's not a question of putting on the armor when challenges come. The armor should always be on because you're living it. It's in your heart. It has been engrafted into your heart. The truth has been engrafted into your heart. So that's a high-level look at strategic warfare. It's focusing on a goal by immersing ourselves in the Word of God, which pertain to that goal. That we're not moved by anything that happens between now and when we achieve the goal, because we are totally sold out in faith moving towards that goal. Now, tactical warfare is more short term, and it's really focused on overcoming the battles of life. The devil's job is to keep people busy. The acronym BUSY, being under Satan's yoke. He likes to keep people under his yoke. He does it with extremes. Extremes of work, extremes of attack, extremes of desires. His goal is to keep people so busy, just surviving the day, that they don't have the time and the effort and the energy to invest it, some of that, in strategic warfare. It's hard for a person to be doing affirmations on strategic warfare when their body is racked with pain. All they want to do is do affirmations on pain and all the tactical things we do to get the pain out of your body. And so the devil's whole plan is to keep people, everybody in the world, so busy and so entertained and so challenged and so overworked that they don't have time to invest it in God, much less in strategic warfare. But one has to find a way of making that time. Even if it starts with getting up 1 minute earlier. So 1 minute earlier you get up and invest it in God, and 1 minute earlier, you can say 10 affirmations. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ, which is a major warfare weapon for strategic warfare, which we'll see more as we continue. You remember, you know, people, getting back to coming out of high school, some people make the decision, I want to be an engineer or a doctor, an MD. Let's take an MD. They come out of high school, they spend 4 years in college, another, what, 4 to maybe 10 years in specialization. All of that has been invested in being a doctor. Now, with all due respect to doctors and their financial abilities and their abilities to help people, that is nothing compared to being an adult son and daughter in the family of God. Amen. When doctors can't heal people, an adult son and daughter can come in and heal them. But it doesn't happen by spur of the moment. It happens by investing the time to become that adult in the family of God. By investing the time in strategic warfare, so you're moving higher and higher to a higher and higher plane. After a while of doing this, and it could be weeks, more likely months, even more likely years or decades. After a while of doing that, you come to a point where most of your time is spent in strategic warfare, and the everyday challenges flow off your back like water off a duck's back. And that's where we want to go. See, Jesus didn't spend a lot of time addressing sicknesses and diseases in the body. He didn't have them. But he spent a lot of time in strategic warfare, spending time with God. And before his ministry ever started, he was well-versed in the written word. His first major attack when the enemy came at him, he defeated the attack by quoting the scriptures 3 times. So many people have come to me over the years asking for help in healing. And most of them can't even quote 2 healing scriptures, book, chapter, and verse. You know, that's like running down the street to help put out the fire in your neighbor's house, and you haven't got a fire hose or water. How can you be trying to get healing if you don't know 2 healing scriptures? I mean, healing from God, I mean. Sure, you can get healing from the doctors and so forth up to a certain point. But to get healing from God, you must know what God's word says about healing. Because it is his word that brings the healing. It's his word that brings the prosperity. It's his word that brings everything. And that investment in his word and that investment in drawing closer to God is the part of the strategic warfare that I'm trying to talk about here. Now, although tactical warfare is based in faith, it must be based in faith to use any other weapons of or warfare, it's all based in faith. However, it is necessary to respond to the circumstances of life. In fact, generally speaking, the circumstances of life are what triggers the tactical warfare. It's because a person stubbed his toe while he's doing affirmations about his toe is not broken, his toe is turned, his toe is healthy, healed, whole, and restored, and free of pain. It's because the challenge with, look, right now in this country, there is a challenge going around with romaine lettuce, which has E. coli, right? A very bad form of E. coli. And so they're imploring people, don't eat E. coli unless you know it was not grown in Arizona, Yuma, Arizona. What did I say?
Don't eat E. coli.
Well, you don't want to eat E. coli either. No. I was right. You can't say I was wrong. Don't eat E. coli. But don't eat romaine lettuce, which has E. coli in it, right? Yeah, okay. So, we don't want to do either one, right? Okay. No. I'm not saying this is true, but it's possible. It is possible that among all the people who have been affected, some of them are believers. And now they're involved in technical warfare, trying to get rid of the challenges of E. coli in their bodies. But if the person I'm trying to help everybody, I'm not trying to put anybody down, okay? If the person had spent more time in spiritual warfare, then what we'd expect is that they're not buying that lettuce. We have many examples here where people have avoided things that turned out to be tainted or were later recalled. Many examples. That's the kind of lifestyle we're trying to live, being led by the Spirit of God, so that we don't buy anything unless we ask God. That is, lead us not into temptation. Don't lead us away so somebody doesn't have tainted romaine lettuce and they're not being tempted by sickness and disease and all the various things people are tempted to say when they're sick. But when people make a mistake and it happens, please do deliver them from evil. And that's the tactical warfare. We're delivered from evil through the Word of God and through His power. So the tactical warfare is often, maybe almost always, a response to the circumstances of life. Matthew 6:34 puts it this way. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Tactical warfare is focused on getting through today. It's focused on getting through today. But when we take part of today and focus on God, getting closer to God, knowing His Word, doing the things that God say, which is, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. but you should meditate it day and night. Okay. Blessed the man who delights in the law of the Lord. When we do these things to focus on what God wants us to do to make God happy, to learn more about God and draw towards Him, that's a strategic approach that will help us avoid many of the challenges of the day. So we go into a day, and the day is better ordered, fewer challenges, which then gives you more time. The investment of a little time in strategic warfare will eventually give you more time free from tactical warfare, so you have a breather so you can spend more time with God. Now, of course, it's tempting. Once you get a breather from the pain, you want to kick back and relax and have fun. But you got to save some time to draw closer to God. If you keep going from fire to fire, you're never going to break out of that. And that's the way the devil wants to keep everybody. Busy, just going from one firefight to another. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And always remember, your body is flesh. You know, your warfare is not against your body. Yeah, we need to exercise dominion and control over our body, but the big challenge with our body is the battleground of the mind, where the devil hits you with fiery darts concerning your body and concerning what your body wants to do. Your body is like a big dog. When you train it, it will do what you tell it to do. You can see all over, people have trained their bodies to do amazing things. All it took was time, desire, time, and effort. Verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus." See, this is all tactical. Something happened. A bad thought hit your mind. Fear hit your mind. You cast it down. That every time a thought hits your mind, you start bringing it into obedience of the Word of God. All tactical, all oriented with what's happening around you. Let's look at some more detailed differences in warfare. Strategic warfare, an example is memorizing scriptures. Another example is affirming life-changing scriptures. Not defensive scriptures like "I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus," or "In the name of Jesus, God supplies my need according to His riches and glory," but life-changing ones. You know, such as Colossians 2:10, "I'm complete in Christ Jesus." Or in Hebrews, "I've been perfected by Jesus Christ." Or "In the name of Jesus, I'm a loving, forgiving person." Or Galatians 2:20, "I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, Christ Jesus lives in me." Or Romans 8:2, "In the name of Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." Very strategic. You can say that when there is no sin attacking you and when there is no death attacking you. In fact, that's the best time to say it. Power yourself up. Build yourself up. How about Romans 8:11? "Same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and pumps life, quickens my mortal flesh." No. Yes, some people do that when they're challenging their bodies. But the best, most powerful times to do it when there are no challenges. You're just declaring that you're filled. Every cell, organ, and system in your body, all the empty spaces are filled with the Holy Spirit and the life of God. That's what God wants, that our total being is suffused with love and with the Spirit of God. So, strategic warfare. High-level plans for winning the war. First of all, you define your war, which means you're choosing your battleground. You're not responding to the battleground that the enemy chooses. I mean, when people go out and they have a, when people go, nobody here, nobody ABC, go out and have a car accident, they didn't choose that battleground. It happened to them. I know they got to fight through the accident, the, you know, start praying before the accident, during the accident, after the accident, and put it all back together. They didn't choose it. But when you do high-level plans, then you can choose it. You know, you can say, well, I'm going to grow to the point where I never need medicine from doctors. And the first battle I'm going to choose is, next time I get a headache, I'm going to do affirmations and communion and all of the secondary warfare until it leaves. I refuse to take an Excedrin or Tylenol or whatever they sell for that kind of stuff nowadays. You've chosen the battle. Because you could have, okay, so you got, person got another headache. Let's say they get it periodically. Every couple of weeks they get a headache. And all they do is they pop a pill. It goes away. They could have done that, but they're not. They're saying, no, I'm choosing. I'm built up. My spirit is on fire. I'm full of the word of God. And no, I'm going to choose right here. This is where I'm going to war. See? When the devil picks it, he's going to pick the time when you're at your weakest. Yeah. When you're most challenged. When you're most tired. That's when he's going to attack you. That's not a good time to say, well, you know, a lot of people made that mistake. They get challenged with something, and in the process of learning how to deal with it with spiritually, they learn that, you know, God really doesn't want us to be dependent on any other doctor but Jehovah Rapha. And that God truly wants us to be free of all this medical paraphernalia and drugs. And people made the mistake and said, okay, I finally learned that. Maybe all they were trying to do is get the pain out of their body associated with dialysis and the need for dialysis. And they learned the process. God really wants them to be free of dialysis. So they quit going to dialysis. People do that typically to die. You can't make such a great decision when you're at your weakest point. You want to do it strategically when you're built up and you're in, when you're ready. Here at ABC, we say, hey, don't quit your doctors until you, at the very, very least, been through healing school semester 1, 2, and 3. We did not say school of dominion. We said healing school semesters 1, 2, and 3. Until you've been through it at least one time, don't even think about quitting your doctor. All people on my staff here have been through healing school as many times as we've had it. And we've been having it for a long, long time. Number 2, strategic warfare. It's an emphasis on preparation and knowledge. In strategic warfare, what's going to cause you to win is knowledge. Knowledge of God's promises, knowledge of how to obtain God's promises, knowledge of how to stand in faith, and knowledge of what the consequences are of not doing it God's way. So, there's a strong emphasis in strategic warfare on preparation and knowledge. Preparation. So, if you're properly prepared, then the challenges won't come. Or if they come, they'll be like a tempest in a teapot. Strong emphasis on provision of resources and weapons. If you're going to approach the war from a strategic point of view, then you need to know what are your weapons. There's the armor of God. There's the name of Jesus. There's the blood of Jesus. There's three witness anointing. There's a lot of stuff you can do. There's praise and worship. You know, there's the 10 levels of secondary healing or secondary warfare. So we want to know, what did God provide for us to use in warfare? And how do we use them? What are offensive weapons? What are defensive weapons? And all these we've taught in different series and in different schools and places. There's a proactive focus on training and repetition. A Marine once told me that the Marines are always fighting or preparing to fight. That's the way Christians should be. We should always be fighting the enemy or preparing to fight. We're in a war with an enemy that's trying to kill you. I mean, how much more blunt can it be? The devil is trying to kill you. You're going to sit back and let him take his best shot. The neighbor comes over from the next door and tries to slug you. You wouldn't stand there and take it. So why are you taking it from a wimp who's been defeated? Just because you can't see him, you don't need to see him. The Bible tells you all about him. Okay? So there's a strong focus on training and repetition. You start your training with small things. You overcome that, you overcome this. You keep asking God, where do I go? What do I do? And then you build up. But it's always training. Life is a training. We want to be led by the Spirit of God. And psychologists say we make 25,000 decisions a day. We should be moving towards making all those 25,000 decisions with God's help. Mm-hmm. Ongoing maintenance. A lot of people have come through ABC. Years later, I see them and say, you know, we're still doing affirmation. It's still working. But they're doing affirmation technically. When the challenge comes, they fight it off. If they were doing ongoing maintenance. You know, you don't do work in your car only when it breaks down. At least I hope not. You do work on your car so it doesn't break down. The same thing is true with our bodies. You do maintenance on your body, maintenance affirmation, a maintenance lifestyle, maintenance fasting, maintenance praise and worship. Maintenance, feeding on the word. You do all this maintenance stuff so it doesn't break down. Now when it breaks down, you increase everything tactically to win that battle. But the whole point is to try to go through this strategically. The foundation for strategic warfare is really growing in the fruit of the Spirit. See, growing in the fruit of the Spirit means you're living the way the Holy Spirit wants you to live. It's His fruit. You're partaking of His fruit. By their fruit, you shall know them. Which fruit are you developing in your life? Which fruit are you living? The fruit of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the devil or the fruit of carnality or any other kind of fruit? So it is living by the fruit of the Spirit that powers the spiritual warfare. And so many believers don't even know what the fruit of the Spirit is or what they are, what the parts are. And strategic warfare is all based on the cycle of change. Healing School Semester 2, the cycle of change. We're all going to change. The only thing that doesn't change, according to science, is the speed of light. The only thing that doesn't change, according to the Bible, it's God. God and His Word are one. God and His Word doesn't change. Everything else changes. And His Word also says God is light. So we're back to the speed of light, which is constant. Okay? And it's got to be something really profound there, and one day I'm going to see the profundity of it. The profundity of it, okay? So, everything else changes, which means you're going to change. It's not a question, are you going to change? The question is, in what direction are you going to change? Are you going to say, well, I'm getting older, so as I get older, I'm going to look and act like all the older people around me? Or the world is a terrible place, terrible things are happening to people, so sooner or later, it's going to happen to you? No. You control your change. And you control your change through the cycle of change. And the cycle of change is how everybody changes. You know, in computers, they say garbage in, garbage out. If you give it bad data, you get bad results. It's the same thing with the cycle of change. It's like a computer. If you feed into the cycle of change, God's word and God's ways, you come out changing towards God and being more successful. And the cycle of change is very simple. It starts with renewing your mind. Everybody's mind is changing, some fast, some slowly, but everybody's mind is changing. Some people's minds are changing because their brains are deteriorating and their minds are becoming like butter, but not at ABC. Some people's minds are being renewed to engineering. Some people's minds are being renewed to pornography. But all minds at ABC are being renewed to the Word of God. If you renew your mind to the Word of God, that's the beginning of the cycle of change. You renew your mind to the Word of God, and then you act on it, which puts it in your heart. So study it and renew your mind. Act on it to put it in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as the mouth speaks, it teaches your soul, it guides your life. All strategic warfare is based on that. So you want to renew your mind to the things that you want and speak them. Okay, tactical warfare, affirming your healing. An example is affirming your healing. It's all things you do to achieve the short-term goals, to overcome the attack of the enemy in your life. That's all tactical. There's an emphasis on recognizing the challenges and responding to them. Emphasis on recognizing the challenges and responding to them. And that's not as simple as it sounds, which is why we're spending some time in the series on tactical warfare. An example, here at ABC, we tell people that you never just do one affirmation, one type of affirmation. You always do a general and a specific. Because a doctor may say, we just had a testimony tonight about it. Okay? Doctor may say one thing, and doctors can be wrong. Mm-hmm. I know it may surprise a lot of people, but doctors can be wrong. Yeah. And they might say, well, the problem is the heart. Mm-hmm. Turns out the problem was really a lump behind the heart. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of examples like that. So if the doctor tells the person that your challenge is your heart, and they are affirming, my heart has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, over and over and over, taking the sword of the Spirit and slashing the enemy, you're not trying to convince God to heal you. God has already healed you. Amen. Affirmations is not trying to convince God to do anything. Affirmation is taking the sword of the Spirit in warfare and driving the enemy out and taking the sword of the Spirit as a scalpel and changing the physical. And you're affirming, my heart has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and the problem is the lump behind it, or the problem is something in your blood that's affecting your heart, then all your affirmations are not helping you. They're all true. Your heart has been healed. In fact, it was healed before you started. The problem is the lump that's doing it, or whatever else. So you always say, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And then you always do a specific and a general. That's an example of recognizing the challenges and responding to them. You need to know the knowledge and the expertise on the use of the weapons. How do you use affirmations? How do you use the name of Jesus? How do you use the blood of Jesus? All these things are part of tactical warfare. All this stuff is taught in healing school. Tactical warfare is reactive to the changes in the circumstances of life. It's ongoing warring with the use of secondary methods of warfare. So you pray, and once you pray, you believe you've received. From the time you say amen to the prayer until you say, there's the manifestation, that time is spiritual warfare. It's tactical spiritual warfare. So during that time is when you use your secondary methods of healing, your 10 secondary methods of healing, such as praise and worship, fasting, affirmations. The emphasis in tactical warfare is to release the anointing to destroy the yoke of bondage. When you do an affirmation, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, Mark 16, 19 says that the Holy Spirit works with the word to confirm it. When you speak the word of God, the angels can respond to that word of God. So tactical warfare starts with the primary method, especially the prayer of faith. And the warfare is continued to the secondary methods. So the spiritual warfare is based on the cycle of change, and the tactical warfare is based on the primary method, which that launches you into the secondary. Let's look a bit at strategic warfare. I know for most of you, this is a review. So strategic warfare, warring with a plan. Strategic warfare is warring with a plan. Major step in that plan is strengthen yourself by praying aloud in tongues. Jude 1:20 says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit builds you up. The best defense is a good offense. So part of your lifestyle in warring with a plan is to pray in tongues aloud. Let the cycle of change work for you by affirming 1 Corinthians 2:16 and Psalm 19:14. Why those two? Because 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Well, that's the starting point for the cycle of change. You have the mind of Christ. You cannot say that too many times. You say, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. It's renewing your mind. It's preparing your mind for the Word of God. And it's also changing your brain, helping your memory, your processing, your logic, all of that. Because this all belongs to you, because the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, and you're declaring in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Psalm 19:14, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to Him. Those two scriptures touch all three parts of the cycle of change. So in strategic warfare, you choose your long-term goal, and you let the Holy Spirit guide you into the battlegrounds. And all the battlegrounds are pertinent to your long-range goal, and you pick the timing when you're built up and ready for the fight. Be always prepared by wearing your armor. You wear your armor by living it. And how do you live wearing the armor? By walking in the fruit of the Spirit. So some suggested affirmations are Romans 6:11, reckon yourself dead to sin, the strategic. Isaiah 26:3, I'm kept in perfect peace when my mind is fixed up on the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In strategic warfare, what you're doing is warring to create your future. You're creating your world with your words. You're creating your world with your words. You do that by declaring the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46:10 says, declare the end from the beginning. What you want is the ending. Declare it from the beginning. That's very strategic. You're not fighting the battles along the way. You say, this is what the end is going to look like. Do your ABC morning prayers. Ephesians 1:17-23. Ephesians 3:14-21. These are wonderfully strategic prayers. For love, for revelation knowledge. Psalm 23, Psalm 91. For leading, for guidance, for protection. For the whole day. Very strategic. In Matthew 18:18, declare your day. This day in Jesus' name, I loose into my life this day God's will, God's power, God's angel, healing, the mercy of God, all the resources I need, and a day of order. And I bind for me in Jesus' name Satan and every demon, devil and evil spirit, and every evil and every action and every calamity and every dangerous thing of the enemy. It's your day. You have the right to loose into your life anything you want. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. So let God choose your projects and your timing. You know where you want to go, how you're going to get there. Let God tell you how you're going to get there. Okay? Be led by the Spirit of God. And then, once you get the projects, the intermediate steps moving towards your major goal, then you start calling them into being. You call things that be not as though they are. And all throughout this, you're watching your spiritual thermostat, joy, peace, and patience. Because joy, peace, and patience will steal your anointing. Joy, peace, and patience will open the door for the enemy to attack you. So you watch them, and if you start to lose them, you confess losing your joy, peace, and patience as sins, and start over. Tactical warfare. Tactical warfare is responding to an attack. And what do? Well, the first thing you should do is RRB. Confess your sins. Repent, renounce, break. Then you should cleanse your home or your area by casting out demons, devils, and evil spirits. Then you establish your kingdom of God and invite the Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon you. Then do as many of the secondary methods as are necessary to get your manifestation. That's how you respond tactically. Now, what we're going to do with this next session, is to show you some challenges in your life that come tactically, that people often make a mistake on how to handle them or how to recognize them. Tactical warfare, using your armor of God. Strategic warfare is knowing the armor and wearing it. Tactical is using it to overcome the present challenge. Watch for your sins and confess them immediately. Forgive others and pray blessings over them. And if you have already forgiven them and the thought comes back, just bless them. Cancel ungodly words spoken by you or by others against you. Confess known sins and receive forgiveness for both known and unknown sins. Notice you're not really asking God for forgiveness. God forgave you and all your sins were taken away when Jesus Christ died for your sins. What you're doing is confessing Him. You're saying, Lord, I confess. I acknowledge that when I did this, it contradicts your word. Help me not to do it again. And when you do that for the sins you know, He cleanses you of all sins, known and unknown. Some tactical affirmations you all know. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24. God supplies all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I am free of guilt and condemnation. In the name of Jesus, I'm free of guilt and condemnation. Romans 8:1. I'm free of guilt and condemnation. Finally, here's a choice. Leave you tonight with a choice. You can choose to be proactive or reactive. Remember, proactivity is really more akin to strategic warfare and reactivity more to tactical warfare. Tactical warfare, you're reacting to an attack of the enemy. But if you are more proactive, there'll be fewer attacks of the enemy that will need your reacting. But even in your reacting to an attack, there is a proactive approach that you can take. So reactive, I mean just blah reactive, just plain old vanilla reactive, is do nothing until the challenge arrives. Then you react in a tactical manner. In my experience, that's the way most Christians seem to want to live. They do nothing beyond the bare minimum until the challenge, then they react to it. In some respects, Christians are like people in the secular world. They're very busy with their lives, and whether it's really good or not so good, they're adjusted to it. They're used to it. So when a problem comes, they all want to go to the doctor, get the problem removed, and go back to the same lifestyle they had before. That's not a good way to do it, because sooner or later, the devil is going to wear you down. What you want to do is invest some time in the strategic approach so you can avoid the challenges, and so you're not dependent on it. Recognize that whatever your lifestyle is, no matter how good or bad it is, God wants you to draw closer to Him. Okay? Matthew 7:26. You know, we don't want to build our house up in sand. And complacency will definitely have you building your house up in sand. And then when the rains came, you're going to try to tactically solve the problem. And eventually, a storm will come that's so big that your tactics won't be able to solve the problem. The problem is people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if you are not investing time in strategic warfare, being proactive to avoid it, then sooner or later it will catch up with the people. Proactive. Before the problems start, do maintenance affirmation. We should have a lifestyle of always doing maintenance affirmation. How many depends on where you're at and what the Holy Spirit is telling you. But probably a day shouldn't go by when you don't at least a few times say, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I have the mind of Christ. My youth has been renewed like the eagle, and declare Psalm 23 and Psalm 91 over yourself. Those are all maintenance affirmations. Being proactive allows you to war in a strategic manner. The earlier you start acting strategically is the more time you'll have to put things in place before the challenge comes. Now, here is a proactive part that you can do when the attack comes. So you're there minding your own business, and suddenly you find yourself in a heap of trouble. If you're in a heap of trouble, at some point there you did something you shouldn't do. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. But something happens. Now, why don't we say generally speaking, that way I won't get out a whole bunch of people upset at me. Let's say generally speaking, if you're having a challenge, it's because you did something and you opened the door. The Bible does say the curse causeless doesn't come to rest. The curse can't come up on you unless you give it an opening. But apart from that, let's just say generally. So generally, when a challenge comes, when the curse comes to rest, it's because you give it an opening. Giving it an opening means you actually did something the devil's way instead of God's way. Now, for most people, they really don't know when they did it, because they don't know the Word of God enough to know when they're actually doing it the devil's way versus God's way. I'm not talking about, you know, plain old carnal sins and breaking the Ten Commandments. All Christians know that when they break the Ten Commandments, they're sinning. Of course, a lot of Christians don't know when they're breaking the Ten Commandments. But that's a different issue, okay? So, my point being is, a challenge comes, if you take the perspective that I have for me, if a challenge comes in my life, then it's because someplace I've been disobedient. Once I solve the challenge and see the disobedience, then I'm ready to do something about it. And here's the way the Bible puts it. If you turn to the first page, I want to read 2 Corinthians 10:5. That's in A1B. A1B. You see 2 Corinthians 10:4. Go in forward a bit more into the paragraph, you see 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's verse 5. Now turn back to the last page and you'll see verse 6. Okay? Readiness to revenge. 2 Corinthians 10:6. Everybody see that? Mm-hmm. So it goes from casting down imagination and every high thing and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's the example I just gave you. A challenge came up on me. It's because I was disobedient. I did something I shouldn't do. I said something I shouldn't do. Once I resolve the challenge, once I recognize the disobedience, then I'm here. I have a readiness to revenge the disobedience. The Bible said, get even with the demons, devils, and evil spirit that slugged you. Is what it's saying. Get even with them. They are defeated and they should be under our feet. If they make a mistake of hitting you, treat them like a bully. And what you do with a bully, if he slugs you, you slug him back harder. So when these demons sneak up behind you and hit you with something, once you got the issue resolved, once you recognize the disobedience, you confess the disobedience, and then you really give them the what for. Okay? You confess your sins. You got to confess your sins before you can really deal with the enemy. You invite the Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon you. And then you go after these enemies. You make them pay a heavy price. For example, you cast them into places where they definitely don't want to go. A number of years ago, I forget now, 10, 15 years ago, we used to cast them into the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. And after a while, really, because demons don't like water. Okay? So, after a while, like maybe what, 6 months, a year, 18 months, strange things started washing up on the shore. Animals and creatures that could be found like 5,000, you know, feet below the water and this kind of thing, from way, way down there, which never come up there, they're showing up on the thing. And that went on for a while until we say, you know what? I think it's because we're doing this. So we quit casting them there and everything settled back down. You guys remember all the strange things that were happening on the beach? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. See, this is a very exciting life. You want to cast them into places where they definitely don't want to go. But I don't recommend the ocean, okay? For the reason I just told you. So you can cast them into a dry spiritual place. Some people cast them into the pit. Some people... okay. You cast them. You ask the Holy Spirit, where should I cast them? Cast them in an uninhabitable place, okay? So you... Now, as you do that, you can combine them. Use conditional commands. You say, demon, there's a pain in my body. That pain is not gone in 10 seconds. In the name of Jesus, I cast you into a spiritually dry place in a faraway country, into a desert where there are no people around, and bind you on the earth until Jesus returns. They don't like that. There are other things they don't like, but that's more advanced classes, okay? So, but conditional. You will find if you use conditional commands, it's much more effective. And the answer is why? I'm glad you asked. Let's say one demon is attacking you. And he's attacking you with a pain in your shoulder. And you bind him up, and you cast him, and you tie him up in spiritual chains, and you're through with him. There's a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. Nature won't tolerate a vacuum. That's the basic science. Well, also, so does the spiritual world. So as soon as there's a vacuum there, the higher guy upstairs, the higher principality, power, might, or dominion, will say, hey you, get over there and go help that guy over there. They want to ensure that their demons are attacking you. No, the demons are not stupid. If you say, if the pain is not gone, you're going to be cast out into a place he doesn't want to go, what is he going to do? He's going to stop. Because you're not saying, I'm casting you there. You're just saying, if he doesn't stop, you are cast there. So he stops. So there's no vacuum. So nobody comes in to replace him. So the pain just goes away. Now after a while, it will attack you with something else. And, you know, so each time you make the penalty a bit harder. Now, all this takes practice. You know, you're not going to hear this for the first time, for some of you it's the first time, and go out and start doing it, and immediately everything works the way you want it. It does take faith, because let me close with this. During World War II, the Russians used people, marched soldiers across minefields to clear the minefields. In other words, they blew them up to make a path through. That's still being done using Christians in Burma. We have videos of it. If you want to see it, there's a movie by Sylvester Stallone called Rambo. The last in the Rambo series is actually called Rambo. And it starts off with exactly that. The Burmese army using Christians to clear the minefield. Now, if people will do that, who is influencing the people? Demons. Well, don't you think the demons would do that to themselves? So if you take this guy and cast him out there, and he's cast someplace, and he's out of the action, the higher one sends another one in, and you cast them out. They will keep doing it to keep you convinced that nothing is happening. And they'll sacrifice a whole bunch. So you have to be persistent. You have to believe the word of God, which is when you say go, they have to go. Amen. And so it may take 1, 2, 5, 10, 100. What difference does it make? You're casting them all out there. Eventually it will stop. And after a while, you get to the stop. Almost instantly. Mm. Most of the challenges that come up to me over the last few years, I solve within seconds or minutes. And let me tell you, some of them are pretty heavy duty. Okay, that's it for tonight, folks. Thank you all. Okay, I'm going to say something. For all of you who have been diligently attending Graduate Healing School on the first Friday of the month, if you've been regular, we are giving you a manual for it. Also, the people on the internet will be contacting you to see who has been regular so you can get your manual. Now, the manual does not necessarily mean you're graduating from Graduate Healing School. In fact, you can complete all of Graduate Healing School and do very well, but you still won't graduate from Graduate Healing School if you have not yet graduated from Healing School. So you have your manual, and when you graduate from Healing School, then you can graduate from Graduate Healing School. So everybody will get a manual who's attending on a regular basis. If you came in late or if you're not regular, you will not get a manual. Anything else? Okay. Thank you all. God bless you.